The footage of Triple M. The weekend is here. And so is Triple M Footy.
And don't you love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Friday night footy, and it is a very big affair coming your way tonight from Giants Stadium. Collingwood have travelled up to New South Wales to take on the GWS Giants. Guests, as always, this show has the best. Jason McCartney will talk all things GWS. Cult hero of the week, Peter Dacos, for Pies fans, will join us, talk all about his career and how his son's going. Tim English, victorious, the Western Bulldogs last night over the Sydney Swans. A lot to get through, a couple of new segments as well, I believe, and I look around, see four of my favourite men on the planet in the same room, led by our captain, Luke Darcy. Hello to you, Darcy.
Hello, Howard. Great to be with you, and I'm generally excited about tonight's game. It's massive for the Giants in a shortened season. They've got a very, very talented group, and they need a win desperately against the in-form side in the competition. Toby Green, Josh Kelly, Shane Mumford back in. Very interesting selection coming up against Brodie Grundy and Big Mason Cox. So this is a good one tonight, Howard. I'm looking forward to this.
A lot to look forward to. Damien Barrett is here as always. How's your week been, Damo?
Good, thank you, Howie. And to add to those names, you just rattled off Darcy. Whitfield also passed fit to play with that jaw injury from last week. So, a few interesting ones we'll talk about as the night unfolds, Howie. A bit of background to the Connor McKenna situation and what happens next when a player, or if a player does test positive, how it will be done very, very differently to the example we've now got as to how not to do it in a public sense.
Nice work. That's the little giggle over the side of Chris Judd, I believe, the two-time Brownlow medalist. Hello to you, Judge.
Hello, Howard. Thanks for coming in tonight. Really appreciate it.
No problem. And Noodles Brown is here in fine form as always. Hello, Nathan.
Good to be here, Howard. A couple of long-winded openings from you two, Darce and Damo.
It's not just sort of a hello, isn't it?
Yeah. Spoken by a man who...
Very long-winded.
...to give notes to start conversation wedges with his own wife.
We're going to start somewhere, Duke.
Someone who doesn't over-talk as a rule. Now, you know, last week we put a lot of time a lot of care into trying to support you, Howard, through some difficult circumstances last week, and it came with a great deal of love and a great deal of... Can we help you be better? You know, can we improve you? And
we're worried you got ahead of yourself.
Clearly it didn't work, from what I understand.
What are you talking about?
It's been a big week, Howard.
Words fielded back that you've had a shocker this week. Is it true? This has just been made aware to me. Did you have to ring and apologise to a guest on Sunday Footy? Is that true or not true?
That's not true.
You didn't ring a player.
I did not ring a player.
Because we weren't going to name names, but if you're going to go
name and shame, Jake. Name and shame.
Carlton Football Club. I'll start getting. Did you ring someone from the Carlton Football Club?
I did.
Text, SMS.
Text, possibly, yes.
Wasn't even big enough to call. That was the.
That's the most cowardly thing you can do, I reckon.
I did not ring. I texted.
You an apology?
Absolute fair. No, it wasn't an apology. It was just a general.
What did you text him?
I'll try and find it on my phone.
But, we spoke about this at board level.
Okay.
Really?
Do you want me to read? I'll read it too if you want. Do you want me to read this? A private message between me and... Or do you want to bang on?
I think, in fairness to our reputation and us as a group, if you've offended someone in the football community that we're intimately involved in...
no offence.
Juddy,
that's not our club's perspective.
We had a reasonably brief interview
with
Ed Curno.
Rudely
because
brief.
Someone got the timings of the show wrong.
Well,
now, that's not my role.
I don't write the headlines.
So,
as the host, getting the timings of the show aren't your role.
No, that is the producer's role. So I
was very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Throwing a producer under the bus as well.
Voiced his frustration to Leroy, first of all.
I sent Ed a message. G'day, Ed. Sorry about having to cut you short. We stuffed up our time. Timings and got caught. Sorry for stuffing you around, mate. Peace, Howie. To which he replied, no worries, Howie. Snuck in a surf at Kennett, which was fantastic. Keep the podcast coming. Absolutely love them.
See,
there you go.
You're out of the old school.
Read it right there.
Whatever. You're out of the old school.
It sort of just backfired on you, Clowns, doesn't it?
The first sorry part would say it's a apology.
Yeah.
You're at the old school where apologising is a strength, not a weakness, Howie, when you are rude. That's and you cut right. Something off, Jody. And I know the Carlton Footy Club would.
Oh, they brought it up.
Deeply
the
offended. Right. Deeply offended. We had an emergency board meeting. Madu Kane Little, highly
and what
offended.
What did they say?
Well, we spoke to Ed. Ed felt that there had been a long-standing bit of a rivalry. Call it, obviously, Ed's on a stand-up surfboard and Howie's on the boogie board. both down that Geelong, Bowen Head sort of way. And Ed felt that maybe him and his team were a bit like the Bra Boys, to be honest, down there. Maybe they'd got Howie's nose out of joint. This was Howie's one area where he's got a bit of power. Like the security guard on the door, he wanted to show I'm the big man now. And but the club deeply offended, and working out what our next steps are, and you know, we reserve the right to discuss.
Are you going to do a Jack Riewoldt and ban the station?
We're not ruling anything on or out at this stage, Howard. But I mean, we were glad you made that apology.
Well, I did apologise because I felt bad, and
he has apologised because only felt 5 minutes ago he didn't apologise. I'm confused.
Yeah. I said I didn't ring him. But I'm more than happy to apologise because we did have to cut him short.
There's a term that we'd use to describe the way they're called weasel words.
and he said he's not going to come on Triple M again. And then Charlie said he's not going to come on Triple M again. Yeah. So not only have you outed Ed Curnow from Triple M, but also Charlie, which is...
And in case you didn't realise, times are pretty tough on radio at the minute, Howard. You know, we don't need people snubbing us, banning us. You know, this hurts the bottom line.
So it wasn't good that we had to wind him up and then Noodles Brown and his idiot mate Wayne Carey on air. Jeez, you cut that short. Oh. You cut him off. Gee, that's a bit rude, just to really back over.
I understand on the back of you marking up the timings as the host, you put 20 stations around Australia into a black zone, the first time it's ever happened in Triple M history.
Has the power gone to your head?
Let me just explain that. That's
because you knew that it was going to go into that period and country stations were going to be out for 90 seconds. And I think you thought, nah, stuff that. We're going to roll with what I want to do.
What in the end, that is true, Nathan, actually. And all we did is put the entire Gold Coast off the grid for 95 seconds. But, you know, we had a good interview at the time that we needed to stick with.
Do you think you have changed a little bit, though, Howie? I've been your greatest supporter.
Oh, sure you have. No, I picked that up last week, though, mate.
Oh, no,
fantastic support you were shooting balls in my back.
When you wouldn't tell me who your guest was in your 100th podcast, given our friendship, I was a little bit taken aback. The placement of your head in the social media promotions
Friday
Huddle.
He's grumpy.
And the Sunday Rub. Two things. One, you're not smiling, and the rest of us are. But how have you moved from the back corner in the right-hand side of the picture to front and square?
Part of his contract, I believe.
Who have you got? Who have you got information on somebody?
Just let's stop.
I demand front billing.
When we're talking contracts, who in the room? Let's get this out on the table now.
Hang on. It's starting to turn a little bit.
We're talking contracts.
We might have to get you on the line.
Hang on. Who has got written in their contract that they have to call the AFL Grand Final on Triple M? Have you got that in your contract, Judge?
Oh, no, I don't.
Have you, Nate?
Oh, this is good.
No.
Have you, Damo?
I certainly haven't got it.
Dust.
But I do. Bit of a guilty.
I 100% haven't, just on ability. Is that right? I just happens every year. But do you think there should be?
No, it was just explained to me by management last year that you would be calling the grand final because it's part of your contractual arrangement.
I just thought that was just pure natural selection.
What was the conversation?
Sounds like management didn't have the heart to say the real reason. They've pinned it on a technical contractual issue.
And I'm happy to wear that. I'm happy to get it written in there if it helps you.
If you don't want to play on a level playing field and you need to put it in your contract to get the grand final, that's up to
you. So who did you go to get your photo?
That's almost bomb-worthy, Howie.
Was it Ewan or did you go to Fitzy?
I went and asked, did I?
That's the story going around here, and it's the same sort of thing at Fox down there, that they think that you've backdoored your way into a calling sense, and all these other people are going, well, how does Howie get in here? He's not even a football person. He's a cricket person. He does all these surfing things. He's a guru, and he's got Adam Scott. It's a bit underwhelming for the 100th.
I give you that one.
Not from the response I'm looking at on the podcast, Judge, but listen, as far as the photo goes.
And then you're bringing people in here from your podcast, showing them around, going, oh, we're like a chaperone.
We did think you'd brought a work experience person in today.
And this is a three-time world champion you both gave donuts to. Scotty James wandered in. As far as the photo goes, I have obviously nothing to do with the photo, but I think the station's realised that you lead with your ace card. And that's what they've decided to do, Damo. I'm a bit flat about that photo because that was taken about 4 years ago when they told us we had to have that serious grungy look, and I haven't been to a photo shoot since because I haven't been invited because I'm low down the totem pole. So there's me looking like Captain Grumpy, and you blokes are all smiling like it's Christmas Day.
How many boxes are you standing on that photo?
Speaking of Captain Grumpy, Howard, did you say during the week that you're that big now that when you book into a hotel, you sign in under Alan Border?
No, we've taken it too far. You can't make stuff up.
That's not exactly what I said.
Hang on.
That's not what I said. Out of context, Nathan.
Let's listen to something that you said during the week.
Who would you go as, Howie? Yeah. If you're that famous and you needed a non-diploma, who would it be?
Probably one of my sporting heroes from the early days. I might check in as Alan Border, I reckon.
So that's out of context. That was on the back of Luke Longley checking into hotels.
Don't blame Luke.
Have you checked in as Alan Border?
I haven't checked in as Alan Border.
Because of the Howie Games groupies that try and track you down around Australia.
When he gets out of the Uber, they are everywhere.
There's only so far we can go to try and help you, Howie.
For the 1% of our audience that are stupid enough to believe this, don't. This is absolute rubbish. And not bad by you boys, though. I was asked.
It's all about growth, isn't it, Juddy?
That's what we're here for. We're not doing this to hurt or to injure or to wound.
Bailey Dale centres the ball up. English. Good mark by a big man to ice the game for the Bulldogs. Comes in and kicks it.
28 points the Bulldogs lead. They'll go in with that. That's it. The Doggies have done it. Two in a row for the Western Bulldogs.
You are listening to the Friday Huddle, courtesy of McDonald's. That was the fine calling of Nathan Brown and Barry Denon. Talking about fine, the Western Bulldogs, Das, we'll get to the guest in a moment, but sitting there back at home watching that, being on the board, you must have been incredibly enthused by what you saw.
It was an excellent performance all round, Howie, and our next guest was sensational. We'll speak to him in a minute, Tim English, but Marcus Bontempelli's heroics in the first half were quite extraordinary as well. There were some really good signs, having had a couple of tough weeks first up. It was a pretty pleasing performance. Few injuries to talk about. Damo might have an update on that, Howie.
Well, let's get to our guest. This man, from what I've been told and what I saw, best on ground, dominated. And I always introduce this man as the friendliest footballer that has ever appeared on Triple M Football. Very fine mannered young man. Tim English is on the line. G'day, Tim.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you on. Well played last night. Tell us about your own game. You must have been really, really happy with your output. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think coming from the start of the season where I had Brody Grundy first up and copped a bit of beating in that game, and then had Paddy Ryder and Rowan Marshall round two. So it was nice to get individually. It was nice to have sort of a better performance and build on the momentum that the team sort of built now with those two wins.
Tim, you were great last week against Jacobs, but double team last night. How do you go into a game and how do you plan your ruck work when they bring in Naismith to ruck with Sinclair? It's almost a two-on-one effect.
Yeah, it is a little bit like that, but I don't mind sort of playing as the sole ruck in a team. You get a lot more time up around the ball, which is nice, and it's comforting to know that the coaches have that confidence in you to be able to sort of perform that role and be able to go up against two of them.
Tim, congratulations on your form. When you see young blokes really start to take the game to the next level, you can see physically that they're a lot stronger, but also there's a mental component where they sort of lose that intimidation factor of the older players. Which of those two things is playing a bigger role in your performances the last few weeks?
I think the physical sort of strength side of it. I've put a lot of work into that over the past few years, but over that little COVID-19 break, Pat Lipinski and I bought a gym for home, so it was basically the only thing we could do. So we spent a fair bit of time in there, and I feel like I'm a lot stronger around the contest.
Tim, just with the referencing you had a moment ago to the Brody Grundy situation in round one, and I suppose the focus that was on not just you but the team itself, and then you came out of that break with another loss. How did you go personally with the 0-2 scoreline and the personal aspect of the focus being on you as well?
I think I've just got to sort of focus on what I can control, and unfortunately I didn't play how I wanted to play in those games. However, I knew that I had a strong preseason behind me, and I had that form. And like I said before, the coaches have shown that confidence in me to be able to play the role and play the role in the manner that I play the role. And then my teammates as well have been awesome. So the support that they give me, that gives me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and with the past two games and the fact you've only played the 33 games and ruckmen take time, have you got some slack being cut your way? And do you cut yourself some slack, just given you are so youthful in the position you're being required to play?
I don't think you can cut yourself some slack. Obviously, you want to play the best you can play for the team. And I think as a midfield group, obviously, I get to play with some of the best midfielders in the comp, in Bont, Jack McRae, and now Bailey Smith, and it's awesome to have Liver back. So I don't think you cut yourself some slack. It's obviously to be able to sort of push yourself and try and get the best out of yourself. yeah, you've got to try and set the bar high.
And Tim, to perform like you did and have done to get 22 possessions, you're taking marks defensively, pushing forward and covering the ground. It just feels like you've got the ability to cover the ground a lot better than you had. And you're only 30 games in. That sometimes you get a game like that, Tim, and it just gives you that, you know, confidence that going forward, you know, you're more than capable of having a great career. Did it feel like a night that you did take a big step forward?
I've been in the system, or this is my fourth year now, so you build on your fitness base from the year before and the strength side of things as well. So to be able to play, I guess the shorter games helps a little bit in that aspect, being able to run out games. But, yeah, I think just building on fitness through the sort of past. And I had an uninterrupted pre-season, so that's helped a lot.
We are speaking to Victorious Bulldogs ruckman Tim English on the Friday Huddle. Tim, we are thinking about attempting a new segment. Are you happy to be involved?
Yeah, happy.
Okay, it is time for a new segment with a stinger. Roll it, Leroy.
It's time to find out who really is the smartest Bulldog, Luke Darcy or Tim English.
I am ready to fight.
This is the English Test. And now your host, Western Bulldogs champion, Nathan Brown.
Oh, I like this.
Tim, can I apologise in advance? I had no idea. This will be horrific. If Nate, was this your idea?
He's not? Already apologising for the helicopter ride down to the Witten Oval that time. Now, Tim, you sound like a very informed, intelligent young man, and there's a lot of talk about ruckmen who aren't that intelligent. We've got our big mate over here, Luke Darcy, who called a replay a couple of weeks ago, so that's how well he's going. So there's six questions.
As I say, Tim, when you hang around idiots, it rubs off on
and
you.
And it is the English Test, so obviously your last name is English. So you both got buzzers.
So what are their buzzers, Nate?
Your buzzer, Tim, is going to be Tinglish.
Test it.
Tinglish.
There you go.
Yeah, very good. And yours is Say That Again.
I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
Say That Again.
Okay. I like this brownie.
Here we start.
I'm up already. This is too smart for Brownie. Something else.
This is all to do with English.
I'm up.
Let's question number one. What former English cricketer shares his name with an AFL club?
English. Ooh. Is it Paul Collingwood?
It's two. One nil.
Can I just say, technically, he didn't get his buzzer right?
Oh, come on.
But
the
anyway,
right.
Question number two. It's all about English, as we said. Spell Radicalia.
It's English.
Oh, very confident. Go, Tim.
He's in the zone.
Is it Radicalia? RATUGOLEA.
Yes. Very good. 2-0. 2-0.
I get a sense.
I like this.
Yas, can you just test your buzzer, please?
I get the fix is
it
in.
Again.
The fix is in.
Hey, no, we're not an excuse business here, mate.
I know the way the big nose producer works. You are a snake in the grass.
I'll take a point off you if you want to keep that up.
2-0.
You just got to get in. You got to buzz in.
I'd like to get in.
Okay, question number three. Spell Petrocelli.
I'll let you buzz in first.
Oh, yeah. He's giving you one.
Say that again.
He's giving you a charity one.
He's giving a charity one. He's a board member. Actually, you're just taking the piss out of me. Petrocelli would be P-E-double-T.
No, bad luck. Negative one to Duke. Okay, next question.
Can Tim have a go at it?
Swampy would have got that one for the Duke.
Can Tim have a go at it?
No, he's that far in front, he doesn't need a go. Okay. Which English actress did Shane Warne date?
Elizabeth Hurley. Say that again.
Oh, you got it around the wrong way, Duke.
Yeah, give him that one.
I'm back in the
game. You got it around the wrong way. Now. Okay. Spell Koudafidis.
Well, Tinglish. I've got this, I reckon. K-O-U-T-O-U-F-I-D-E-S.
Ah, brilliant.
Yes,
that is.
I didn't know I was coming up against the junior spelling bee world champion.
3-0 at the moment, and this is the last question.
Oh, because, no, Nate, keep going.
Well, you can't get back, Duke, because there's no bonus questions. Spell Athos Harisalakis.
Say that again. A-T-H-O-S.
Yes.
Athos. That's all I'm going to
do. No, keep going.
Harisalakis.
Come on. Come on.
Harisalakis. H-A-R...
No.
Tim have a go?
Yes, Tim should have a go. Buzz in,
go,
Tim.
Timmy.
If he's got it written down on a bit of paper.
I'll give it a crack.
Just do your best.
H-R-Y-S-O-U-L-A-K-I-S.
Oh, this is unbelievable. And say that again. You're calling replays. You're an embarrassment to the Western Bulldogs.
Big nose producer said, look, you can't look me in the eye. That is one of the great stitch-ups of all time. Congratulations, Tim.
Well done, Timmy.
Not that I'm shitty at all about the fact that I'm going to catch up with you.
Tim, you're a star. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle. You're a very intelligent man as well as a wonderful ruckman. Good on you, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Damien Barrett with all the news. Damo.
Injury carnage out of last night's Sydney Swans Western Bulldogs game. We knew post-match that Sam Naismith had done a second ACL in just his 30th match, a 27-year-old, as we know, and he just cannot get a crack at it. And you could just hear the way John Longmire spoke about his situation, what he means to the club and what they now fear lies ahead for him with another rehabilitation from that. But only moments ago, the Bulldogs have released their news out of the injury situation from last night, and it's not good. Aaron Norton has gone down with a syndesmosis complaint, which is it's a worry. Surgery is required. It's to his left ankle, and a 6-week diagnosis, Darce, is what they're speculating on now. Now, that could vary 1 or 2 weeks either way, but he hasn't been able to shake the injuries for some time, has he? And he's so crucial to what
He's pretty resilient in the first part of his career, and then obviously had that knee in the final that caused him some drama. But syndesmosis, Juddy, it's become the injury word of choice, unfortunately. What is it exactly with your medical hat on?
It is pulling apart of the two bones in your lower leg, and they don't actually crack or snap or anything, but they pull apart and there's a sheath that connects those two bones. And that gets inflamed and angry. And they're the sort of injury that you can play with after a period of time, but you're not 100% for a very long time. They can really hang around for 3 or 4 months if they're bad really? Ones purple. And they didn't used to operate on them, but they're operating on more of them now. So
dry needling, does it help?
Not really, your syndesmosis. Not a lot of flesh you can get into there around that part of the ankle.
Righto.
Do you speak to the doc weekly about what might come up on the weekend so you've got an in? Doc Rowan White?
No.
No. Yeah, no. This is all your information?
This is all my own work. That's
good.
Just self-trained.
Well done.
That's what I do.
Sort of fell a bit flat, mate.
And Lloyd also does. He went down with a collarbone, and it's officially broken. There will be surgery required there on his situation as well, and there's not a diagnosis time-wise on that at this stage. But, yeah, two key members of the forward line, which has now performed really well for 2 weeks, are going to be missing for some time out of that game last night.
It hurts, doesn't it? And it hurts even more in a shortened season, doesn't it? So it's going to be a big part of the run home, how healthy your list stays. But next player steps up, Damo. That's all we can do in the short term.
Yeah. Josh Shackey, Darce, is he ready to come back in?
Look, he's played a lot of games last year. Look, I can't give you a line of sight on exactly where Josh Shackey is, but I believe he's well and fit, and you're lucky to have that depth that it would make sense to have him step into one of those roles.
Yep. Selection news, Howie, for the Sunday games. The big news is the Adelaide Crows have dropped Matt Crouch out of their team to play Brisbane Lions. Seedsman has also been omitted out of that. Zorko comes back in for the Lions. Melbourne has made some changes. Now, we know that they were unable to play that game last week against Essendon, playing Geelong this week. Neville Jetta omitted out of the team that was put out last night, and prior to that, Hallie Bennell was already out of that team.
Nathan Jones still out of that team?
Yeah, Nathan Jones officially is omitted.
Neville Jetta omitted?
Yeah.
It was all Australian form last year.
Was it last year he got in? He wasn't in the team. He might have been the squad.
He was in the squad the year before, but yeah. Very good player.
Omitted. Jones omitted. Neil Bullen omitted. Jackson omitted. And Harley Bennell omitted. So they've made the five changes to the team that ultimately won that game against Carlton. The Cats have managed Tellery Taylor out of that game. Reece Stanley, we know, had done the knee, and Quentin Narkle's been omitted. Parfitt's back in. Hawthorne, no changes. And North Melbourne, among their changes, have omitted McMillan, actually, which is a bigger name for North, and also Wood and Ahern and Bonner.
Is Cunnington back into that side?
Cunnington is back in, along with Marley Williams.
Okay.
Yep.
RIP John Kennedy. The football world is in mourning. Our thoughts are with the entire Kennedy family. Just a legend of various football clubs and the competition in general, Darce. Famous. for some of the speeches he made. This one we just need to play because it is just one of the great football lines. Let's have a listen to the great John Kennedy in action.
At least do something! Do! Don't think, Mick! Don't hope! Do! At least you can come up and say, I did this! Or I shivered it! Or I played on! At least I did something!
If that doesn't get you going, nothing will. And as I said, once again, our condolences with the entire Kennedy family. It is such a part, Das, of sport. Probably not as much these days as it used to be. The big rev-up speech where the coach gets you in, and especially in our game that we love and you boys have all dominated.
And so, Howie, I think it's lasted for longer. Firstly, it was great to have John Kennedy officially made a legend of the Hall of Fame, wasn't it, Jody, just a few months back. Before there's a 29th official legend of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and if there's one good thing to come out of what happened, Das, it is that, the fact that he was able to acknowledge that himself, and he was even able to speak to camera there, to Patrick Kern at the AFL, when they presented that acknowledgement to him, and you could see he soaked it up. And that's only a matter of 5-6 weeks ago when he did that video, and it's so important to him and the family that they were able to have that moment.
He was someone who took great pride in the fact that no one won a Brownlow medal under his coaching, because it was all about the team and all about the awards. But I believe we spoke to John Kennedy Jr., his son, today, and he was just saying how chuffed he was, as you would be, being a legend of the Hall of Fame. But that audio and a couple other bits of audio have been the only that's been in existence of coaches from a previous year. So you've gone out to junior football, you've gone out to, you know, local football, Howie, and you get a half John Kennedy impersonation every second week because that's what we grew up on. That was the way to motivate players. It still stands the test of time.
And hopefully our man Lukey Tunnicliffe's big Amazon documentary where they're going behind the scenes at various football clubs captures a bit of that, because that audio lives on in history. Terry Wallace's spray lives on in history, the famous line. So hopefully you see more of that when that documentary comes out. But it made us think that you boys have played under some of the great wordsmiths and coaches. So why don't we start with you, Judge? Spray, motivational speech. What's the one that sticks in your mind?
The one that is tattooed in my brain comes from John Worsfold. Huge game against Adelaide Crows, who were really up and about in the early 2000s over at Subiaco Oval. We've already had the technical pre-game speech in the lecture theatre. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the warm-up changing room, and it's his last little rev up. We're in sort of a semicircle around him, and Woosh was very big on the vision statement. Loved the vision statement about off-field behaviours and on-field behaviours. And he was talking about, we don't need to try and recreate something new. All we need to do is go back to our vision statements. Everything is in the vision statement. Sellers, what's something from our vision statement you're going to take out there today? And Sellers pauses. He can hear his brain rapping through the vision statement. He goes, don't do drugs. And there was this pause for about 30 seconds, just as everyone's whipped themselves up into a frenzy, and that's all Sellers could come up with. So, Lynchy, what are you going to go? Oh, run hard. We're a hard-running team. Good, Lynchy. Thank God for that. You know, Kerry, what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to be nice and aggressive.
Who was Sellers?
Who's Sellers?
Adam Selwood.
Right.
Yeah. So, Adam Selwood, like a deer in the headlights there. So, I don't think that was exactly what Woosh was looking for in that particular example. But
in retrospect, good advice.
Well, good advice, not something you want to be thinking about as you're just about to charge out on the ground, but interesting nonetheless.
What about you, Dash? You played under Plough, who was famous for the Year of the Dog, and that's what I'm talking about with John Kennedy. Yeah. These speeches
I'll
spew that live
up
on.
Smashed the whiteboard, and Rodney Ebe was capable of letting fly. But
while we're on Plough, let's hold off for Rodney Ebe. I don't think that's fair. Let's have a listen to Plough from that famous line.
We just can't accept it. I don't know about you guys. Like, if I see one bloke walk out of here getting a pat on the back from people out there for a good effort, I'll spew up. Because it's just not acceptable.
So that's a good link into how my mind immediately goes to very rare poor half that I played, Juddy, at Marvel Stadium. And I think Jeff White was giving me a touch-up. We're playing Melbourne, and I just had an absolute shocker. And I came at halftime thinking, "Fool, I'm in." I made the fatal mistake. I had to go to the bathroom. But as I went to the bathroom, everyone had filed into the team meeting. So you look around and you go, "Oh no, not the time to be coming last into the team meeting." Now, as I walk in the door, he's got the stat sheet out, and as he's reading, he scrolls down clearly to mine, looks up, and sees me as I walk in the door. And in that voice, well, here comes Big Luke Darcy. Big Luke Darcy. One possession. One possession. If I paid someone to go out there and run away from the ball, you'd get more than one possession. And it just went, oh, I think I better sit down now. Nothing you can say to that apart from to go out and have a good second half. But then he decided that was the way he was going to motivate me every week. So no matter what happened half time, well, you're going to, you know, I had to go and see him and say, mate, it worked once. Maybe not every every second week. He was good at it, Browning.
He was. We played under the same coach. And at Princess Park, we played Port Adelaide one day. And it was all about war. We're going to war that week. And you're either a conscript or you're a volunteer. So obviously, you come in after the game and you quickly scan for your name because you want your name to be on the left-hand side, being obviously the volunteer.
We got belted this day, I remember.
We did.
At Carlton.
We were a fair way up early. And I'm pretty sure there was a bye the next week, which didn't make it that good. I think we were about six goals up early, and then they came back and belted us. And he gave one of the all-time sprays. He didn't miss hardly anybody. There was only about five people on the left-hand side of the board, pretty much. That left 17 on the other side.
And so it was all Army themed. So all everyone got a spray based on war, didn't they, effectively?
They did.
If I remember this one right.
Yeah. Went to Robert Murphy, who had played on Sean Burgoyne that day, and he said, if I put a knife in between you and Sean Burgoyne out in the field, he would have got it first and he would have stabbed you. You're dead. And he went right up to him and actually put it in Rob Murphy's, like, in his chest, as in the action, and then hit him. So, like, Murph had to go back with the and then Kingsley Hunter was accused, because he got a few kicks in the last quarter, the fact that the war was over, and he might have been taking pot shots from people from behind when the war was over. And he took umbrage to Brad Wirra, who he called weak and insipid about 18 times in a row while he was hitting the whiteboard, and all the magnets were starting to come off. So it was one of those sprays that you just didn't want to be a part of, but we still speak about now.
So this is why we need to capture these things in football documentaries. There was some audio captured last year.
No, you can't go there.
Audio from where, Howie?
It was from a long time ago.
Suburban, we're doing this, but I'm with you on the
this
idea.
This was fake news, wasn't it?
Suburban football.
It's an impersonator.
So this was doctored audio.
So is he just not working hard?
No. He's round what? The winger.
Right, okay.
Unless
okay.
We just sack that.
No.
Rock it.
We can't think.
Sorry, mate.
Come on.
Get him off.
Yeah.
Get Minson off.
He's coming. Get him back off. Get him off.
Get
him off.
Off.
Rock it. We can't hear. We can't fucking hear.
That's Leon.
I think the Leon impersonation is brilliant.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's good, but Leon's excellent as well.
Did you watch last night?
It sounds like Leon, doesn't it?
Thursday night footy last night. Did you see Horse Longmire and your mate Big
Coxie? Coxie was coughing it all night, wasn't he? Coxie. Every time I looked at him, he was getting
around. He was under more duress, Coxie, last night than anyone I've seen in the assistant. And he looked like he was firing back.
I thought he looked mildly aggressive by the end of the tour. He was pointing at the screen. And
High pressure environment, Howie.
That was unfairly edited, that audio. I just want to put that on the table, Damo. Okay.
Well, you're still the one who chose to play it, Howie. We sit in the ad break now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk about taking pot shots when the war is over.
Brownie did.
GWS taking on Collingwood tonight at Giants Stadium, and a treat to welcome this man to the station, a good friend of Triple M football, the head of football now at the GWS Giants, Mr. Jason McCartney. Jace, how are you going?
Evening, Howie. How are you? How are you going, guys?
Lovely to speak to you. By gee, you've got some handy inclusions tonight, great man.
Look, we have. Well, we're looking forward to, obviously, Toby and Josh being back in the side. Obviously, Shane Mumford, Tom Green. I've got a bit of mail for you boys. Stephen Canelio is going to toss the coin tonight. He's going to attend it. So just get that one off our chest.
I must admit, I liked that last week, Jace. We need a bit of theatre. We need a bit of gamesmanship. Footy clubs are remarkable places, Jace. When you lose a couple, the pressure builds big time. And that's the case tonight for the Giants, isn't it? Desperately need a win.
Yeah, certainly do. Look, we haven't been good enough the last couple of weeks. Our opposition, not to discredit them, they've applied some good pressure and some, you know, good work around the footy, and we've got to get back to what we do best. And our contest hasn't been good enough, and we haven't played the ball and played that front half game of footy, which obviously we did really well for probably 3 of the 4 weeks in September last year. But we were really strong in that area pre-season, our JLT games, or March series, and then obviously round one. But we haven't been at the level since we've come back from the stoppage. So no better night to get it back on track than tonight against some red hot opposition in the Pies.
Jase, you've obviously spent a lot of time at Melbourne footy clubs and know what the pressure build is like there when you have a couple of bad losses. Contrast that with GWS. Do you feel the same level of pressure, or is it a little bit different when you're hidden away up there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Juddy. It's nothing like Melbourne. It is great when there is a little bit of strong heat come from Melbourne on us, because you need a fair bit of it for some of it to actually get through, because you just don't. It's just not like being in the bubble of footy in Melbourne. So it has advantages, no doubt, for our players to be able to escape. But sometimes you'd like a little bit more heat, so it doesn't have to come as much internally. But obviously, Mick McGowan wrote a fantastic article. I think it was today, and probably nailed a couple of areas that we need to improve on. So boys are fully aware of that. So hopefully we can respond tonight.
Jase, Brody Grundy's a nightmare matchup for any team. Big Shane Mumford comes back in to take him on tonight. What's the backup plans there?
Yeah, look, obviously, Shane rucked against him a couple of times last year. I think we beat the Pies in round 17 here, and Brody had probably low 30 possessions, so it didn't quite work, but we won. And then if Shane can keep him under 76 hitouts, I think it was the prelim final, we're going well. So Shane's pretty good off a spell, so he's been off a good spell. He's fresh. He still can get around the ground. Like, he's got great endurance, so it's to try and work him over a little bit, but we're under no illusion. We're probably not going to win many hitouts there. But obviously, Jeremy Finlayson will spend a bit of time in there as well. And we've got a number of mids that I think will do a few things there. And at times, you might see some of our mids more around boundary throwing ball up and get the extra on baller to help our contest work out.
Richmond style from a few years ago, is that what you're sort of alluding to there?
I don't think we'll go that far at centre bounce. We'll have a Shane or Jeremy Finlayson, and it might be Harry Himmelberg at times in there. But around the ground, like I said, we've got a number of mids and some quality mids. So to get them around the footy a bit more, we might look at doing a couple of things there.
Yeah. Jase had a lot of players out last week, obviously, and Whitfield didn't help that when he went out early. But the use of the footy and the pace that you use the footy hasn't been there like it was in various stages last year. You did start slow last year as well. But against a side like Collingwood, when you got Moore and Howe patrolling that back end, pace of ball movement tonight is going to be paramount.
Yeah, it's no doubt, Brownie. We've just got to get better at changing the angles. What we did when we played well last year was use the ball a bit more by foot, changing angles, not just being slow and predictable down the line. And I think one of the key things is getting it, winning clearance, getting it in quickly, and playing that front half game, because it is, if you're reliant consistently, like our back seven were pretty good last week, but if you're relying on all your ball movement trying to come from deep in D50 all the time, you're just not going to be able to move the ball well against, all sides have got great defensive setup, so it's just not going to work. So yeah, we need to address a few things there, and we've worked on it a lot during the week, and we've gone to town on a fair bit of education around it. So we're looking forward to putting it all into practice tonight.
Jase, just before we let you go, how's the vibe in Sydney? Obviously, we've heard that Victorians aren't wanted, which is completely fair enough with the way the COVID situation's going. New South Wales politicians saying if you're Victorian, don't come into the state, don't come to our sporting events. What's going on?
Well, obviously, we know the COVID, it's a serious matter, but it's interesting the reaction to people, because obviously up here, we started strongly with the COVID numbers, and now that we're going okay, it's back on the Vic. So it's an interesting one, because obviously tonight, I think we'll have about 400 again, as we did against the Kangas a couple of weeks ago, of members and corporates, but they're in behind the glass. And next week, government legislation changes here on the 1st of July, so we'll be able to have about 5,000 here next week. But it sounds like none of them will be Victorians. I'm lucky to get in tonight, actually, because I haven't changed my licence over, so I'm lucky to be here.
Hey, Jase, we appreciate your time. Stay safe. Best of luck to you and your footy club tonight.
Thanks, guys. All the best. Take care.
The wonderful Jason McCartney from the GWS Football Club. Things happen late on this show when sometimes our listeners drop down to still high ratings, Darce.
Still in the high 100,000.
Yeah, still big numbers, but less big numbers than this stage of the show. So for those that don't stick around right to the end,
it's probably worth doing it, actually. It's probably my favourite part of the night, the last 8 or so minutes.
Juddy doesn't eat and becomes...
I've become hypoglycemic.
Hypoglycemic, which is a serious health issue. So he was charged with giving the votes last week. It'd be fair to say our man just sort of lost his way a little.
He did.
And it may look like I'm trying to think of someone off the cuff, but that's not the case. 3 votes tonight go to the best player on the ground.
Who's it?
Rowan Jones.
It wasn't Daniel. It wasn't English.
Banners.
Who the bloody hell was it?
He's lost it.
I'll go with Bailey Smith.
Gardy.
Got a minute. Two man, what's Bailey Smith's numbers?
He can't do what you
what's his numbers?
Down there.
He had 17 touches.
And important ones, Jimmy.
That were, yes.
Don't count your touches, make your touches count. That's what I always used to say to the young players when they came in.
Didn't feature in the papers and the general media.
A lot of the experts gave him votes. Matty Lloyd gave him second best on ground. You know, some of the guys and girls that haven't played the game, they are all putting best on. But me and Big Matty, we knew the impact Bailey had on the game, and he was terrific again last night as well, Duke.
This is the Triple M Player of the Year Award. Yeah. Some of the finest players in the game have won that award a couple of times. And you need to take it more seriously.
Mate, that's my truth, Duke. My truth. The game I was watching here, the biggest impact on it last week.
I don't think you're wrong.
Why couldn't you remember his
name? I watched the game on TV.
It was outstanding. Yeah.
Thank you for jumping in on air, Damon. You usually get
I wasn't on air last week at that time.
How come you couldn't remember his name given the impact he had?
I'm working that hard during the week, Duke. All right? You're sitting around breathing. I'm bloody crunching numbers. I had a bit of a...
Data. We might talk about that next, because apparently your conversation with Nate last week about crypto is
hard for Nate.
Well, it's had ongoing repercussions through the Australian financial world.
Yeah, we need to discuss on from that Nate, next. I believe.
apparently so.
It's not good.
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man who played 250 games for Collingwood and is in the AFL Hall of Fame.
And just as importantly, he's in the great team of the century as well.
It's the man they used to call the Macedonian Marvel, but now is better known as Josh's father. Please welcome...
Dacos, look at the gather. The right foot step, this is a
Peter Dacos.
This segment, Damo, because we get to chat with people that are no longer involved directly in the game so they can open up with stories, and it doesn't get any better. For Collingwood and football fans, and this man, Peter Dacos, joins us on the Friday Huddle. Pete, how are you going?
How are you? I'm going well. Thanks for having me on. I'm not sure whether I fit your demographic, but it's nice to be on. Yeah, I might be a little bit... I might be on the age side, but it's nice to be with you boys.
Not at all, mate. We love talking to football legends, and there is no bigger than you. The boys will ask you all about your career, but 46 minutes before the Pies run out, how do you go watching the football now? Your son is playing, and not only playing, he's playing wonderful football, mate.
Well, yeah, look, I suppose that's twofold, isn't it? It's, you know, it's one thing being a supporter, but it's another thing being a dad, and I think from afar, I think watching on a screen always frustrates me, because I'm sort of, you know, probably three quarters of the time he's off screen. And, you know, as a dad watching him live, I like to watch him off the ball and, you know, what he's doing behind the ball and as the ball sort of leaves his area and is moving forward. So it's, yeah, it gets a bit frustrating, but nevertheless, I'm you know, just rapt to see him out there.
And Dake's young Nick is the younger brother coming through, and I've seen Nick up close and personal. He's a very, very talented young man. And tell us about you as a dad. Did you coach the boys, Dake's, growing up? Did you get hands-on, or have you sort of left them to their own devices a bit?
Darce, I think, like your young fella, and I've seen him up close, and he's pretty handy too, so... Look, and you can relate to what I'm going to say. I think at the end of the day, it wasn't as much structured. I sort of always say that you can explain a lot of things in football, and it's a touch sport, and by hand and by foot. And we personalise those aspects of a game, and we tend to differ in a lot of aspects. But the one thing you can't explain is touch. That needs to be felt. And at the end of the day, it's about getting a ball in your hand. And look, I've put him in situations, even as boys, we practice with bigger balls, if that makes sense. But, you know, so you get in a game situation, and if you can master the bigger side of it, then the other side was little. I remember Josh at one time in the under-12s coming to me and saying, the balls are really tiny, Dad. And I said, just keep playing, you know. So, look, but it's about going out there and just touch. I mean, I've always said, you know, forever, that fitness is a 8-12 week thing, but school takes years to develop.
Peter, do you ever, just in your quiet moments, sit back and just sort of ponder how it is that you played with a famous
surname and you played with other famous Collingwood surnames. And now here we are in 2020 and those surnames are still prominent in a team, in a Dacos. And there was a Shaw for your team and he's now on the other team tonight, but there's a Moore and a couple of Browns. Do you actually ever just think about how that's planned out?
You do. I mean, does it surprise me? Probably not. No, I mean, you know, our craft was football. And so, you know, had it have been billiards, well, the kids would have followed us around in a billiard parlour. You know, the thing is that it shouldn't surprise you that, you know, kids will follow their dads. And at the end, I mean, I actually thought about that, Damien, through... last week, seeing, you know, Cal out there and Tyler and Josh, and then you got Darce as well. So, you know, there is a group of boys coming in, and it's great. I'm heartened by it, and I'm really, it's fantastic for the boys. And look, there is a lot of pressure that comes on them, and it's not just, You know, it bugs me a little bit that there's reference made to me every time Josh is playing, and you know, it's his time, and he should be just sort of focused on. And you know, I probably realised it more last year, where you know, people I'd meet in the streets said to me they'd met Josh and what a lovely kid, and I told him if he's half as good as you, and I thought, oh, you didn't say that, you know. I said, ask him how the old man is, but for heaven's sake, talk about Josh, you know. So. You know, all these boys are under a bit of pressure, and they seem to be handling it well.
We're stoked to be speaking to Collingwood legend Peter Dacos on the Friday Huddle. Here's Noodles Brown.
Dakes, in the premiership season back in 1990, kicked 97 goals, which for a smallish, medium-sized forward is a massive amount of goals. Did you play most of the year inside the forward 50, or did you spend a fair bit of time through the midfield as well?
Oh no, a bit of time in the midfield, and a lot of that is you know, again, that's probably twofold. You know, you as a forward, you know what it's like, Brownie. You want to get into the game. That early touch is all important for any player in a game, and you know, I wanted to sort of get into it, get that early touch, get the monkey off the back, and then sort of I also like to sweep up to half back at different times just to come back and lose them in the traffic on the way back. So yeah, look, but that year was a super year. And as a forward, you live or die by your supply. So you know, law of averages. At the end of the day, I you know, had other years playing in the forward line, and the supply wasn't as dominant. And in the end, if you look at the collectively, you know, what we were able to do that year. I mean, I think Gav Brown finished with 60, 70 goals, and Dougie Barwick kicked 40, and Stas kicked 30. Jimmy Manson kicked 30 in all his friggin' all-over-the-place style. But, but in the end, you know, so we all had, you know, I think Shuri came in the top three in the stats that year. You had Ridey coming second to Brownlee. You had Darren Maloney, main pants, just absolutely dominating, you know. And then, yeah, it was... You know, you live or die by supply. So I was quite fortunate. We had some great competitors, and you know, again, you know, we held the ball in and tended to land at our feet. It was great.
And you had some great characters in that premiership team, Dakes. Who are you most likely to catch up with socially out of that group of players?
Oh, I sort of catch up with Shorey, you know, sort of Shorey, and get to speak to a few of the boys here and there. We probably don't see each other as much, but the past players tend to get together for a luncheon, and then we have a dinner through the year as well. So we used to have our Christmas times together, but the sort of numbers dwindled a little bit. But, you know, I think with everyone, you know, we've got kids and everyone's off doing their thing. But, yeah, the players are never too far. We're, you know, always on the phone, either having a chat with someone or saying hi, and which is always good. Yeah, it's great.
Peter, we appreciate your time on the Friday Huddle. It's a thrill for us all to chat with you. Best of luck to you, the Pies, and your entire family.
No, thanks for that. Thanks, boys. Have a great game.
Thanks, Dokes.
Great to speak to Peter Dacos. What a
extraordinary.
Yeah, kicking those goals from the pocket.
Sunday Footy Show a couple of weeks ago, we did the best goals of all time during the COVID period. So I had to go through and we had to all nominate the best goal. So looking through YouTube, and then I got stuck for 30 minutes watching Peter Dacos highlights, and I eventually went with the one on the boundary line against West Coast with the banana out the other way, and we got the fans to vote on it, and that was the best one. But 30 minutes I was there just watching Dacos highlights over and over again.
Did he have a left foot? Because Josh has got a beautiful left foot.
A very good left foot for Dacos.
Kick on the left foot.
Very good left foot. Just didn't do it a lot, but certainly kicked some good goals on his left foot.
549 goals kicked in 250.
97 in the Premiership year, massive.
Played a fair bit of midfield too, as he said before. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Damo, a lot of debate about the grand final at the moment. As you boys know, I don't offer my opinion on this show because you always just howl me down. But surely, hopefully, Victoria is in a far better situation than we are now. But if we're in a similar situation in October when they're planning to play the grand final and you can't get a crowd at the MCG and you can get a full house somewhere else around Australia, surely the grand final has to move.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Howie, and have been from the outset of the COVID-19 shutdown when we knew that this was going to be like a season we've never had before and hopefully never go near having again. But the contract that's in place will be the standard line publicly that's issued from both the AFL and the clubs around it. But the state governments around the country are lobbying, the WA one particularly, and they've got some traction in recent times. They're now going to have a hub arrangement in WA, which was not going to happen as recently as 2 or 3 weeks ago. So they've got movement there. They'll allow dispensation for the clubs to fly in and fly out under a certain arrangement, but separate to what the other regulations are. And back to your point on the grand final itself, I'd be staggered if they don't open up the conversations. And if WA has to buy the grand final, go for it.
Seems like a no-brainer though, doesn't it? If we can't have it here at the MCG, why would you have it empty when you can have it? And that stadium in Perth is rocking, whether there's a Perth team in it or not. And I don't believe that they should have to buy it either. I mean, there's obviously got to be some sort of transaction, but Nate, they're not going to have anybody there anyway.
Let's be serious for a moment. There is no way that ground is not going. The MCG is going to have the grand final, and there's no circumstance where it's.
What, was zero people in there?
Was just no way. If you're the Premier, you think of it.
And what was the sum of money they tinned up? Was it $1 billion?
They've bankrolled the whole.
Until 2057.
It was the most astronomical sum of money, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which the Bulldogs benefited from, and Carlton did. There was.
And they've bankrolled the whole competition. But even on just to be realistic for a moment now, if you're the Premier and other states have got crowds available, there's no way you're not going to open that ground up. You just get that to work, because could you imagine what the constituents of Victoria would think if you gave up for the opportunity for a grand final?
I think there will be.
It'll just be such a backlash. It's just not going
to
happen.
There'll be some creative ways to do it, Howard, I would have thought. So let's say you don't want crowds in public places. What if you said we've got a 15-minute COVID test to see if you've got it? Everyone takes the test in one section, gets a wristband, then you're right to go into the MCG.
I think it'll be even more stringent than that. I think there'll be a quarantine period. But to even talk about that right now is so far removed.
If you clear the test, why would you quarantine?
Because of the asymptomatic element.
Why would you potentially be putting the public's health at risk when you can do it in another state where they're claiming there is no risk?
This is not going away, though.
And hopefully we're not in that situation in October.
We've gone back to now in Victoria, where there's 10 clubs involved, to having only 5 people in your own house.
Hmm.
In WA, they're going to have 60,000 people at a showdown in 3 weeks' time.
I'd like to bet a house on the fact that the grand final.
A house? Deal. This is big.
Hang on. The one in Hawthorne?
I'd like to go all in. All in. Juddy's Mornington property. the grand final is held at the MC. I cannot see a scenario where you've bankrolled the competition. You've got a contract that says it's played.
Well, the contract will.
However it works, Juddy, however elegantly you come up with it, I just think it's a moot point that there is any way that game's played anywhere apart from the MCG. That's why you have a contract.
What will the crowd be for Collingwood and Geelong in a couple of Friday nights?
That'll be interesting over in Perth. I think the footy fans over there will.
It'll be huge.
It'll be packed. Yeah. Under that date is only a maximum of 50%. So it's only going to be a 30,000 crowd. I think
Western Australians would go for that, Juddy.
I would think definitely.
And I reckon they would have got close to the 60 potentially, given that would be that'll be the first game en masse.
There's so many people that cannot go to that stadium. There's a huge waiting list for, say, the West Coast membership. There'll be a huge demand for tickets.
So 30,000 is allowed on that night.
Juddy, popular demand people want to hear when you opened up the show in Sydney last year after we got stuck in a taxi. After you threw into the break that our betting sponsor was coming up as to why you should keep listening, it sort of took me back to when you opened up the show in Sydney.
Oh, welcome to Triple M Footy at the Triple M SCG, brought to you by McDonald's. We've got an absolutely huge night tonight. We've got Essendon coming in at 11th place, taking on the last place Sydney Swans. Couple of big ins and outs, the biggest one of them, Joe Danaher. But before I go any further, I'm going to get to you, Tom Brown.
11th taking on last was his sizzle line.
That's better than I remember it, to be honest.
You've worked in the media a long time. When have you heard the sizzle 11th versus last?
We arrived in that box because we had some dramas on the flight. Yes, the dramas with the taxi. He was dripping in sweat. Just get the microphone away from me. He needed help big time, Juddy. Everyone's got their skill set, haven't they?
They do. They do. Talk about skill sets. You announced to one and all where he was getting his advice from his cryptos last week, Darcy.
One of the most remarkable things that I've heard in recent times, that to casually hear in the ad break, flowing into the commentary, Nate, tell me about the world of cryptocurrency. How do I get in? How do I invest? The world's upside down a bit, Juddy, when you're going to Nate Brown for investment advice.
I think what we're beginning to learn is you can't always put your faith in the experts. You know, we had the experts model the COVID deaths, and it's going to be 2 million in Australia by now, and they're a bit off the mark. Economists have claimed 10 of the last two recessions. So I did go
to
Nate.
Did you believe them?
I did go to...
You were believing the scaremongers at the start of COVID.
Early, and they got it wrong.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, I'll give Nate a go as my COVID analyst, as my crypto analyst.
How did that go?
And I asked him a few questions last week, and look, fair to say I've had to sack Nate. I was lucky enough to have Alex Saunders reach out during the week.
Saunders.
He's the grandfather of crypto in Australia. Nuggets News is a very popular YouTube channel he runs, and highly sought after. He began buying Bitcoin at $10 and told his viewers to sell at 20,000. So that's a good little return if you crunch that in the spreadsheet, Duke.
What sort of percentage are we looking at there, Juddy, off the top of your head?
Plenty. The technical term is plenty. And so, Nate, I did have to break the news that I was going to have to part ways with Nate as Judd Corp's crypto analyst, but on to bigger and better things.
That's okay. I can take that. And you did say that COVID was going to go on for 5 years and there was going to be a blackout period everywhere, and you were scaremongering in round one.
I still think
I went
COVID
home and said to Christine, we're going to sell everything up. The judges said we're going to sell everything up, but it didn't quite turn out that way, did it, Chris?
I think COVID is going to go on for at least five years. We've never had a vaccine for anything in under four years. We've never had a vaccine for coronavirus. So I dare say this is something we're going to have to get used to for an extended period.
And
if you did sell everything then, what a gift, because it all dropped about 50%, Nate. You could have bought back in. All right.
So what's your man's name?
Alex Saunders.
So is he
Nuggets News?
Is he coming up on your podcast?
Funnily enough, he will be on Masters of the Market in August. Hopefully, we're just crunching a few dates.
So. Well, how are your metrics tracking on the show?
Amazing. Yep, amazing. Best podcast in Australia.
Is it? Give me an idea about download numbers. Give me some numbers.
I prefer. Not raw numbers. It's about engagement for me, Howard. And,
not about raw numbers, Darcy.
It's the demographics. It's a bit like you're 10 to 70, you're 50 plus. Oh, my demographics are right where I want to hit them.
And a Judd Corp big into crypto now? Are we?
No, we're not. But we're exploring, Duke. You know, always exploring.
Is there a way to get those numbers up, Howie? Not that I'm directing that question at you personally, but there's a...
Are you saying that Howie gets his numbers up?
No. Howie knows what I'm asking him here.
There's a system in place.
Hanging at Instagram followers.
There's a system in place where you get total number downloads for a month. So the more product you release or the more times you divide your product up, Nathan, the more downloads you get. So
sounds like a murky word.
Say you're a radio station and you have a show that runs for 2 hours. You have the potential to chop that up into 25 different compartments.
So is anyone in the media landscape doing this?
Someone's doing it. Yeah.
Well, as a result of that, they have now changed the system where it shows you how many different little podcasts you've released. So the rorting has been...
So that's sort of a gaming of the system. So like Triple M's Hot Breakfast in the morning.
Yes.
You can go and listen to the catch-up just once. You don't listen to...
That's right.
The 20 brilliant segments that go on in the morning.
That's
are other groups doing segment was, and you then get a bigger number, would you?
Well,
who are these groups, Howie?
Well, it's been pointed out my way that some of the breakfast shows have been releasing.
You're pointing at me?
No, some.
No, not us.
10 to 12 segments a day. So they're releasing 60 segments a week or 240 bite-sized snacks a month to try and get their numbers
you could
up
do
to
this.
Where the big guns are.
I just still haven't heard a name, Howard. I've heard someone's doing it. Who is doing it?
All sorts of people.
Who?
All sorts of people.
Name three of them.
Just go and look at the podcast.
No, I'm asking you. The list is coming to you. They don't want another job on their to-do list, Howard.
Self-proclaimed podcast guru, who obviously follows this pretty intently, given your insight.
Damo has a very successful podcast that releases two shows a week. I release two shows a week, but some are releasing up to 120 a week.
120 a week?
120 a week, which is quite extraordinary.
You think you're at the top of the tree, so you shouldn't have any problem
with
this.
I don't think raw numbers show that I am. Is that who we're looking at?
Well, we've got to go to our man, Tommy Hackett.
He's writing on the paper. Do you think Minions he's calling.
When Kerry Packer was ahead of Channel 9, do you think he cared, Howard, what he said? No. You need to stand on your own digs, mate.
Talking about podcast numbers, it has been pointed out to me by the company that Friday Huddle download podcast numbers are through the roof. The highest.
We're doing the bite size.
No, we're not. We're only putting one line out.
Why the hell? Why not?
I don't know. They always say it's only a rort if you're not into it. We need to get involved.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.